as preparation for a time of remembering Christ's death around his table, I'd like to read to you this morning wonderful words from Isaiah chapter 53. So that the words will appear on the screen behind me, or if you have a Bible, you may like to turn to Isaiah chapter 53. These words come at the climax of an amazing sermon, which begins with the words, "Although your sins are like crimson, they may be as white as snow." Chapter 1 of Isaiah, giving that promise. But how would that promise be achieved? This is 700 years before Jesus Christ was born, and the promise is given, "Although your sins be like crimson, they may be as white as snow." And the sermon builds and builds, and it seems to get worse. The people don't listen. The more God speaks, the more people harden their hearts. And yet the promise is still there. "Though your sins are like crimson, they may be as white as snow." And people tried their best, but they failed. It wasn't that they got up every day saying, "I don't want to obey God." No, some days, maybe even most days, they said, "I want to try and obey God." But at the end of the day, they felt they couldn't do it. They felt weak. They felt helpless. And the preacher Isaiah said, "Though you are weak, though you are weary, if you put your hope in the Lord, he will make you strong. He will renew your strength." And it was a promise again. It wasn't a reality. It was a promise. It was words. And how could these words become a reality? And they tried even more. And then the preacher came to them again and he said, "I know you're weak. I know you're weak, but God wants to reach down his hand to help you. He wants to give you his helping hand. But how's this going to happen?" And then in Isaiah 53, we hear that God has sent a servant who is going to bring forgiveness, who's going to bring fresh hope, who's going to bring salvation, but not as we would have expected. And let's pick up the story from Isaiah chapter 52 in verse 13. "See, my servant," I'll read from 53 because I see that's on the screen, "who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no majesty or beauty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living, and the transgression of my people he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord's hand will prosper. And the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. This is God's word. Thanks be to God. I'd like to give you permission this morning to switch off. To switch off what I'm saying. Now, the most important thing that we need to remember is that it's about meeting with Christ around his table. And if things that I'm saying are not what God was saying to you, then I give you permission to go and have some time with the Lord while I'm speaking. I was reading a book on prayer this year by Timothy Keller, and he was explaining about how Martin Luther, who is a very famous Christian from 500 years ago, used to pray. And went through his very disciplined prayer routine. But Martin Luther also said, but if you hear the Holy Spirit preaching a sermon to your heart, listen very carefully and don't worry about the rest. So I want to say to you this morning, if perhaps you've come here this morning with work in progress or business that you need to do with God, the most important thing is that you meet with Christ this morning. And the bread itself is a sermon as it's broken. And the wine which is poured out is a sermon of God's love and of God's life that was given for us. I spent most of yesterday reading Isaiah. I don't think I'm going to preach on it this morning, because At the end of my time yesterday, there's a song which I learnt about. It was written in the 1850s, long time ago, I know. Elvina Hall was her name. And while the minister was praying, she wasn't listening. She was asking two questions in her heart. The first question was, how can I be saved? How can people be saved? How can they come into that relationship with God? How can that need for salvation be met? And the second thing she was thinking about was, how did Jesus' death on the cross do it? How did Jesus' death on the cross do it? That great need that we all have to be forgiven, that great need that we all have to be at peace, the peace of God which passes all understanding, the relationship above all relationships that must be right, the relationship above all relationships which determines all our other relationships. How can we have that peace with God? And how can a death of a man on a cross, and she was thinking about this as her pastor prayed a very long prayer. And then she started to get some words that came into her mind. And she said, these words, I need to write them down. But she didn't have a piece of paper. But she had a hymn book. She was in the choir. She had a hymn book. And she wrote these words. I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. As I spent all that time in Isaiah, it was verse 4 that leapt out from the page, as we say. Very hard for Jesus, but wonderful good news for us today. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. My strength is small. Is your strength small this morning? What is God asking you to do? Perhaps you know exactly what God wants you to do. And you say, my strength indeed is small. I want to say to you this morning that Jesus, when he died on that cross, he won the victory over all your enemies. He defeated death itself. The consequences of our sin is death, separation from God. But because Jesus won that victory on the cross, today we can be united with God and receive his strength. Don't leave this place today without receiving that strength from him. Yes, our strength indeed is small, but God's strength is much greater. Are we going to ask God today for strength and help? Thy strength indeed is small. Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God can forgive you? That God relates to you not on the basis of what you've done, but on the basis of what his son has done. When we receive God's forgiveness, God looks at us with a completely, we're perfect in his eyes. Because we've been made perfect by Jesus. Because his sins have paid it all. And sometimes in our lives, we prefer our own story rather than God's story. We hold on to our own estimation of ourselves rather than hearing God's estimation, God's amazing grace and his amazing free gift. Even the Apostle Paul himself, he said, the things that I want to do, I find really hard to do. And the things that I don't want to do, these are the things I keep on doing. And he said, who is going to help me? Who's going to rescue me? He says, thanks be to God who sent us Jesus Christ. Jesus paid it all. We're going to sing that song now together. Jesus paid it all. We're going to remain seated. And then we'll stand together after that and we'll sing When I Survey the Wondrous Cross as preparation for our communion this morning.